Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. It's America. We're back for another episode of In the Open. Teresa's here with me, and we're going to be talking about self-control during the holidays, because both Teresa and I struggle, but...
Doesn't everybody?
I would imagine so, but I
know zero individuals who are doing okay, okay?
Yeah. This topic, though, of self-control speaks to so many issues. One, healthy habits, bad habits, the emotional aspect tied to both, and just trying to do good for yourself.
And the people around you. I just realized we talked all about self-control for myself, but I was like, oh, self-control to not punch a person.
Yeah. For the welfare of others.
For the welfare.
Yeah. So I would say that a huge part of my mental health journey and daily struggle is self-control. It's tied to this idea of self-control. It's not just food-based. I have really bad habits where I may feel like a cupcake will save the day. And then I have emotional self-control specifically tied to like the way I may say things, my tone of voice, my ability to go out and exercise. So all of these are ways in which I try to manage everything that exists. And I hate this idea of control because I'm already a control freak. Like that's just my type A personality. So there's no control. If I had control, everything would function perfectly. So adding on top of that, this full idea of like self-control, what? There is no self-control. There is management. Management of... bad habits to try to do better.
It's so funny to me listening to you because like sounds to me like you're speaking alien language. And literally as a person who has not thought about like control in this way, like my bar is so beyond below perfection. I've resigned to non-perfection as a strength that I'm like, wait, control and management? What does that even mean? How are those different for you in your head? I literally don't get it.
Man, like they are so different. So what? Different.
You're freaking me out.
Okay.
This is a podcast where I need to sit back and learn because I'm just like, what is happening?
Okay. I'm going to try to process with you to help me kind of get out whatever is in my head. And then maybe you can help me understanding what I'm saying makes sense. So like when we think of self-control, right, most often it's tied to some sort of in quotes bad habit, bad behavior that we're trying to keep under control so it doesn't like explode.
Okay.
So for us to do that, for us to control this, we have to, and I'm going to forget the we, I have to think about small ways in which I can basically clamp down on any kind of thing that is still in my ability to control, which then I call management.
Okay, so that's called management. So what's management?
Okay, so management would be like weight-based. I am not going to buy Oreos or any kind of cookie that could potentially be a problem for me where I'm like, oh, I want a cookie. And then I've eaten like five or six or a whole bag. So that's management. It's not even in my face. I don't even have to struggle with that because it's not there.
Yeah. Okay. 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 I think I understand. Okay. So is this what it means? It's like, you know, when it's about addiction, like these are all things that addictions are about, right? When your brain wants you to do the thing that's right in front of your face, control is about the step you have to make when that thing is right in front of your face. I have to maintain control. So the only way to deal with the lack of self-control under incredible stress, mm-hmm. like the holidays, is to make plans so you're not in that situation,
yeah.
which is what you call management.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it. Okay. I get it.
And you can tie that to anything. It's not just like food, but when you think about the holidays and everything that is connected to like this expectation of what the holidays are supposed to look like, then there's just like one part of my anxiety brain is like, oh, I'm supposed to have the house decorated and it's supposed to look like a Pinterest thing and everything's supposed to be nice and pretty. And then my management is like, you're going to get the holiday decorations out whenever prior to Christmas and put them up, even if it's just the tree. Okay, so like those like small little baby steps, because otherwise it's overwhelming.
So self-control requires equal self-compassion.
Dude, yeah. I want to roll my eyes at that, but yeah, it does. It requires self-compassion, and it also, you know how you were talking about like the welfare of others?
Yeah.
It's also you thinking about how your ability to manage the habits that are not healthy and things like that can also impact the folks around you.
Yeah. Because this is my problem, though. Self-control. Because you have to have self-compassion, but if you have too much self-compassion, in quotes, this is where I'm in, where I'm like, yes, the holidays are my excuse to throw caution to the wind. Mm. I'm distanced enough from my addictions that my addictions aren't actively hurting me. So I recognize that I'm in a better place right now, because in the past, I couldn't just throw caution to the wind. I had to maintain self-control because the option of giving into it meant alcoholism, right? Like,
yeah.
So I recognize I'm in a better space.
So how does that tie though to your, so those are like specific, like an addiction to alcohol, cigarettes, food.
Oh, cigarettes.
How does that tie to self-control around our emotions?
I mean, it is just what you said. Like, self-control is not giving into those addictions, but you can't have so much self-compassion that you basically give yourself a justification or an excuse to fall back on your bad habits in ways that hurt you. Because that is what self-control is about. Otherwise, what? You're just living your life.
Like, it's so hard.
The point is we're wrestling with a very hard thing. The thing is, I have a choice of engaging in behaviors that I know hurt me in ways that are not healthy versus, and there are lines, right? There's a line.
Like levels?
Yeah, because like because I'm in a healthier space, I get to have a little more flexibility. I can have a drink and be okay. Let's say for you, you're like, oh, my goal is I'm in a weight losing trajectory. So you have to make a choice about whether to give in on the holidays. And having a frame of self-compassion is scary because you're opening up the door to basically make excuses to give up on your weight goals. Or your health goals. So it's like, yes, I'm saying that self-control requires self-compassion, but it can't become a justification. It can't become an excuse.
It's easy. It's easy to make it. It's easy to justify anything, really. It really is.
It's so easy.
I'd be like,
I hate that about my brain.
It's okay. Like, I didn't eat anything today. So tomorrow I'm going to eat 10 cupcakes.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Human beings are the best.
And yo, finding
mental gymnastics.
Oh yes. Completely. Completely, dude. But you know what I also think about, especially during the holidays, is this feeling some loss of just an inability to control stuff. Because there are so many things up in the air, especially this year. So many changes, you are adapting consistently, blah, blah, all that. And then you're on top of that, you're like, with you, with the relationships that you have, you're still thinking about what has happened. I'm thinking about what has happened this year for me to be like, don't fall into the traps where you are, you know, a little bit more emotional today and you have an argument. And that kind of emotional kind of heavy lifting occurs more often during the holidays because there's so many other things that are just impacting you. Holiday planning. Am I not going to do any planning? The arguments that ensue because of that. The lack of tradition that may occur, whatever.
Yeah. It feels like there's those main two things. My health, physical health, not just my mental, physical health. And not getting into a fight.
Yeah, and like blowing up Christmas.
I know. Oh my God. That was my last year's Christmas. I started to go back to my pictures and I got into a blowout fight with my husband on Christmas Eve. And it was so sad.
Oh man, that sucks, dude.
I know.
I got engaged last Christmas. For now, forever, for the rest of my life, that's like a memory, right? Like, we got engaged on Christmas.
So I didn't do the work last year, because if I was doing the work, I would have had the foresight to be like, how do I at least control my own behavior so I don't contribute to the screaming match that will result in a bad Christmas morning?
Can you think about what led you to that argument? Because I know
it's always stupid.
It's like the little... the things that maybe I thought should have been done earlier, something, and he's like, why didn't you do that? And then it's like, well, you never do X. And it's like, instead of like, you know, you put up the stop sign, stop, don't go down that path. And that's the idea of self-control. Like, can you literally stop yourself in the moment and be like, shut your face, quiet now, move on, leave this room, run away, go for a walk. Anything but stay in this moment because you're going to blow up.
Yeah. And it's so hard because when you're really, really stressed, yes, you always want to have the last word. You always want to do the thing that you know you're not supposed to do, to say the thing. And you're right. The self-control is in that split moment where you're like, don't say it. Don't say the thing out of your mouth that you know you're going to hate yourself for. And we're in therapy this year, so I'm hoping that we've got it out. We've released the bag slowly. So it does seem like that's been the benefit, is we're planning out the slow release of all that angst and energy so it's not piling up and then you explode because somebody put the shoes in the wrong spot or didn't put the groceries away the way you wanted or whatever. Who knows what, right?
Did you do
or
that, like, Teresa? Didn't,
I'm always the one doing that. But then he has to be self-controlled to not point it out. And when he points it out, I have to have self-control to not feel so much shame and guilt that I lash out, right?
Yeah. Take a deep breath, right? I believe that part of what works, I think for me, it's evolving. It's not a one-time thing that has worked all the time. There are these things that I do to manage. When it's like physical health related, I really do try to stray away from buying things that are just not healthy for me so that I don't see them and I don't have them in the house. Also, if and when I do want it, I gotta have it. Like, I'm gonna go and get it because then it just stays there in my mind. And like a week later, I'll be like, you still want that. So I need to go and like, maybe I'll go buy a mini cupcake instead of like 10 or whatever, you know, whatever. On the emotional side, which I feel like neither is easier. It's not an either or. They're both really hard. It would be fabulous if there was like somebody that sat on my shoulder and was like, don't say anything. Not now. Not this time, you know? And I sometimes have to shut my eyes, but that split second is the hardest.
I'm so stressed out right now because this is the one thing I still haven't been able to figure out. Like, this is literally why I'm in therapy. Like, well, I'm trying to think, what would I tell the person? Like, you have to practice stopping, but practicing stopping requires having enough emotional energy and not being so stressed you don't snap, right? Yeah. But like, okay, I'm thinking about this person on my shoulder. Like, what literally keeps me? I asked my therapist this. I was like, what? How do you literally do it? And sometimes the therapist was like, well, you just have to try. You're like, that's not the answer. But she did bring up this concept that I'm really wrestling with that I had not necessarily heard. She was like, you need an emotional reservoir so that basically if there are enough good things in your reservoir, then when you do snap, there's more room for grace so that you recover faster and move on and not let that explode to something more and more and more. And I was like, oh damn. So like one thing we realize is we don't have enough reservoir. So every time we get in a fight, mm-hmm. it's just an assault instead of being able to recover because you can lean on the reservoir to remind yourself like, oh, this person cares about you. And when I say I'm wrestling, I'm literally wrestling because the face that I had looks like your face right now.
Yeah, dude.
It's squishy face. Squishy face disbelief, okay? Squishy face disbelief, girl. So you can't help yourself from exploding or falling back. But you're saying it's kind of like your management. Basically, you're saying if I'm mostly good, I can still fall back a little bit. I can have one mini cupcake because I'm not – I have enough reservoir emotional strength to not go ahead and eat 10 cupcakes.
Okay.
So the same thing exists with emotions and relationships. It's like, and it depends on your love. Like for my husband, he needs to have reassurance, touch, verbal affirmation. For me, I need him to do chores and and take care of the kids and acts of service so that I don't feel so stressed by that. So then if something happens, we're not blowing up.
Yeah,
I can eat the mini cupcake and not eat the 10 cupcakes. I can allow myself that breathing room.
I'm struggling because I'm like, okay, all right, let's think about this reservoir now. I don't know that it exists.
Yeah, no, that's right. We didn't know it didn't exist. We didn't know we didn't have a reservoir. So what we had to do was do daily practices to fill the reservoir, which meant making a schedule. And it was weird, I'll tell you. He was like, what would make me feel loved? And literally, I vomited the whole time because I literally could not think of wanting to give my husband the things he was asking for. He was like, I want a daily positive verbal compliment or affirmation, and I want a hug. It is not even that hard, but I was so emotionally resistant to the idea of this. And that was like fundamentally part of the problem.
Some of what you're speaking to is like the love languages, right? Acts of service, things like that. So I'm an acts of service. If you take out the garbage, yo, you love me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me.
You don't have to do anything else. You've demonstrated you love me. Whereas my fiance is more like your husband, where physical touch makes a difference. So when we're like not in a good place and he like tries to hold my hand, I'll be like, psh, miles away, go, you know, like,
don't touch me.
Yeah. So it's funny because when you think about these small things, they're small things that really help somebody feel like they have value in your life. And then how do you work on an individual level to resist the urge, like you said, to throw up and be like, what?
Yeah.
What positive affirmation am I going to give you today? You didn't make me kill you, you know?
I know. It's so tied to those little thoughts. So I don't know. We're all trying to make sense of this. The reservoir thing is the closest thing to trying to find an answer to build up the snap moment, the snappy moment. Because let's try to figure out how this applies to my personal self-control. So if I am exhausted and I am so stressed and I haven't done any self-care and I'm piling on the expectations and the negative thinking, then when that moment comes and I have a choice to eat a cupcake or 10 cupcakes, if I did zero reservoir in Teresa's life, you know I'm going to eat 10 cupcakes. Mm-hmm. I don't have the thing in me to say one cupcake is enough.
You know, I'm a visual person. So, you know how you have like the little stars for your kids or whatever? Like, you've made your bed, you get a gold star. Mm. I wonder if that would work for me to be like, I'm going to fill this reservoir to help me meet my emotional needs so that I can manage all of these maybe bad moments that may come up, right? Inevitably, they'll come up. And my ability to then control my response to it through being able to see, no, remember, they've done this. They don't mean this.
Yeah.
God, that's a lot of brain work.
Okay. No, we're working on this together. So it's literally tied to stress. Mm. And is it love? Is it...
It's not love. It's...
safety? Comfort?
It's validation.
Validation?
Yeah. It's validation that your presence makes a difference, that maybe it's cared for.
Validation? Feeling worthwhile?
Worthwhile, yeah.
Oh, you're so right. Because that is why I give in to bad habits. Because I'm like, I'm such a crapper. I deserve this Big Mac.
And that's the worst part of our brain. That's the worst part that says, it's okay. It's all right. No, let's try to do better.
And so the validation too is so tied to emotional relationships, because the reason why we lash out at the people who hurt us is because we feel like whatever they're saying makes us feel less than.
Right.
Not important, not valuable. Not
worthy. Yeah.
Not worthy. Those are the deepest pains.
You know, too, when we're thinking about this idea of self-control, I have spent my entire lifetime really thinking about this, right? Where how you move through all these processes, you have to learn, really, you have to learn skills to help you move towards a place of health. At some point, you become so damaged by stuff that it's such an innate kind of reaction to exist in that damaged space that anything that happens outside of that is like barbaric. You're like, what do you mean you care for me?
I know. So this is why I'm freaking out, because literally you said it and I immediately felt a physical reaction, like my body tightened up. And I was like, oh my gosh, America is making me wrestle with this thing that ebbs and flows in my life. Mm. And I have moved so far away from self-validation that I'm having these physical responses to the thought of having to do that work again.
Mm.
And I'm freaking out because I'm just like, oh, now I'm realizing I have already started the process of letting myself down. I need to go back to that space. I haven't focused on it. And like, if I have to prepare for the holidays, you're basically highlighting that I need to fill my personal reservoir specifically with self-validation.
Yep.
What does that look like for you? Like, what does self-validation? Okay. I used to do post-it therapy because I literally, if I couldn't think about it, I had to say, what are the thoughts? It's so, oh my gosh, look at, I'm having physical and emotional reactions to these words because I haven't told myself them in so long. Like, I am beautiful. And I, like, it's Dude. So funny because in some of our last podcasts, like, we've said, like, you know how you can say words, but you don't believe them. So I'm like, oh, I am loved. I am special. And yeah. I could say words, but it's something else to believe them and and feel them. So now you've made me do this hard emotional labor where I'm like, I am beautiful.
Dude, you know, you're like tugging. You're tugging at everything that I have right now. Because when I hear you say that, it makes me think of the book, The Body's Not an Apology by Sonia Renee. Mm-hmm. Where she highlights you have to accept yourself.
Yeah.
For everything that you are, whether you're not the skinniest, you're not the tallest, the smartest, you haven't gotten through every single thing on your freaking list.
Yes.
It's okay.
You have to accept yourself. So to accept yourself, I have to start with the things I don't like. And that's easy. So I list out the things I don't like about myself. And then you have to find out the opposite.
The things that you do like.
So that you can learn to accept yourself. And probably I am beautiful feels so hard to actually say and believe because 2020 has been an assault on my body and my picking disorder. So I literally don't feel beautiful all around. I've gained weight. My picking disorder has become a mess. I've moved it from my arms to my face.
That's hard, babe. You know, when you say like you're beautiful, like I don't think I've said that to myself this year. Everything about 2020 has attacked all the bad stuff. It's not attacked. It's latched on to the bad stuff. And then it's like,
it's highlighted or made it easy to believe and fall into the bad thoughts.
It's like a stone that you're carrying on top of everything else. And you're just like, why? So I'm going to go back and I'm going to answer your question where you ask me, what was your question about self-validation? What do I tell myself? Yeah. On my most good days, say good days, I say, you're doing what you can. That's it. You're doing what you can. You are striving to do better. And if it's not working out today, yo, you got tomorrow.
So does that mean that the things you don't like about yourself is that you're not making things happen that you're supposed to make happen?
You make me want to cry now, Teresa. A little bit, yeah. It's tied to the emotion of maybe I'm not doing enough. So that's why I have to tell myself, whatever you've done today is enough. So I'm both working with me and I'm working against me. And that's a hard battle, I think. And I don't think I'm alone in that, right?
When you want something so bad and you're not able to get something and you feel guilty that maybe that's your fault.
Yeah.
That is hard. And so you're saying to accept it and to feel better, you have to say, it's okay. You are good. You are doing what you can.
Mm-hmm. The way that we see ourselves is so different from what others see. It's amazing how, I mean, you and I have a very different relationship, right? Because we spend so much time together in this space. But outside of this, you're like a phenomenal person. Like you're super really smart. Most people may not know that, you know, unless they've worked with you directly, you are. And you're able to encapsulate ideas in a way that very few people, I think, can. And I say that because you need to hear that, right? To be able to also accept it, which is harder.
Oh, you're like, why are you doing this? Is this what we need for the end of the year?
Maybe, man. Like,
accept the truths that are so hard for us to accept. I guess that is like it is what we're basically saying is that to have ultimate self-control and do right by you, you have to tackle the deepest challenges. And it feels hard for me to listen to you say those things about what you see are my strengths. And I know that they're true, but accepting them feels so painful. And there's something wrong there. Like there's something about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Literally, we can only do this with each other because you know me well enough. And that is what a great friend or therapist, someone who really knows you, can do. This feels exhausting. See, so you can only do this in buckets. If you're leaning in to your emotional deep pain, you can only do it for 15-minute increments. And then you have to cap it up and compartmentalize and then go back to your normal self because it's so exhausting.
Yeah, man. You got to walk away from it. I think that's also what I've learned this year. You got to learn how to walk away. Walk away from all the crap that we hold on to because most often it's the stuff that we haven't had the opportunity, the ability to, the capacity to dig through yet. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And more so than ever, I think a lot of people have struggled with just giving up control because we have lost so much of that within this year that
mm-hmm.
it's all right.
it is a practice to pack it up, to dig into the emotional work and then to pack it up and then go back to your life.
You have to find a space where you're able to hear these things, and maybe you're not ready today, but I totally believe in this idea, and this has been throughout like everything that I've gone through. Things fall where they need to when you're ready to tackle them.
Yeah.
I got to hold on to that. So for the folks that are listening, if this is what you needed to hear today, I'm glad. If you're not ready for it, come back when you are.
Thank you, America.
Keep fighting in the open, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.